We come now to look at the second part of the lesson, at the woman at the well's question as recorded in John chapter 4 and verse number 29. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Dear soul, unless there's something supernatural in these meetings, in these messages, then God's not in it. Unless there is a work of the Holy Spirit working in your heart as you hear these words going across this desk, dear soul, it is in vain. That must be the Holy Spirit or it's not right with God. We thank the Lord for the opportunity that we have. We know that we're called of God. There's no doubt about it. But dear soul, I am absolutely dependent upon the Lord to do this. He gives me the things to say and the passages to look at. But then I have to mix it with my prayers and mingle it with my prayers. The Lord, have mercy. Manifest yourself to these people and don't let them just come to me. Let them come to Christ. Brother Bobby Quick gave me a passage to look at during the break between the two messages. Let me share it with you. Psalm 139 and verse number 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. He says, thou is not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. And the psalm ends with this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. As God reveals yourself to you, then you can depend on Him to lead you in the way everlasting. Dear soul, we need to understand that we need a sanctified imagination, casting down imaginations and every thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into obedience to Christ. That's what the Scriptures say. Let me ask you this. Since the Lord commands us to pray without ceasing, how can you do that without your imagination? You can't be closing your eyes and folding your little hands and bowing on your little knees and praying. That's not what he's talking about. A lot of times that ain't prayer. That's just showing everybody else how wonderful, humble we are. But dear soul, you need to learn to understand that Isaiah 30 verses 20 and 21, that this is the way. Walk ye therein. You hear a word behind you, consciousness of God. A spiritual imagination. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God comes. Even when sometimes there's not a preacher standing in a pulpit or you're watching a message or you're hearing a message, there's the Lord speaking to your heart. Where does God dwell in? Where does God dwell now? You say, dwells in me. Can I ask you this? What is your hope of being glorified? Christ in me. The hope of glory. What is your hope of being glorified? What is your hope of glory? When you breathe your last breath, what is it that you depend upon and say, I'm going to be glorified? Christ in me. Well, dear soul, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. God dwells within us. So God in his absolute spiritual consciousness, can he not manifest himself to you? Is there not a sanctified imagination in you? And does not God remind you of Scriptures? And do not Scriptures come to your mind? And you need to understand and perceive that's God speaking to you. That preacher said, you can't hear from God unless I'm in the pulpit. That's an abomination to God. I hope God changed that man's heart and mind and made him see that he's not the source of revelation and he's not the voice of God, but only as the Holy Spirit speaks through him. And we need to understand and see that it's the Lord dwelling in us. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Therefore, he will speak to and through me. Have you ever been somewhere, you know, I don't know, on the job, in the grocery store, in the dry goods, they used to say, I hate to say Walmart, but that's what I'm trying to get out, and run and come up on somebody and that you knew, and you come around the corner into an aisle, and there they are, and next thing you know, there's these glorious things coming out of your mouth, and you know it's from the Lord, and you're being edified and encouraged, and it's a blessing from the Lord. How did that happen? It was the Holy Spirit in you. Did you feel and understand and see and perceive those things that you said to that person 1 hour before? No. And an hour later when you get home, can you tell your mate or whoever it is at your house exactly what went on and what you said? No. You say, well, I can't remember all what I said, but it was really good. Dear soul, the Lord speaks through us. It is the Lord. Let him do as good as seemeth good unto him. All right. John chapter 1. We want to go back and see some things in the scriptures. The book of John chapter 1. Verse number 43. John 1, 43. Is not this the Christ? He told me all that ever I did. John 1, 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Wow, what an attitude. Philip saith, okay, I ain't going to argue with you. Come and see. You come see for yourself. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Up to this point, humanly speaking, Jesus and Nathanael had never met. Nathanael had never met Jesus of Nazareth. Philip was bringing him to see him for the first time. But Jesus says when he sees him, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? How'd you know that? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, he knew that. He knew there was Philip that called him. Wasn't there when it happened, didn't see him called Nathanael, but he said, before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Now, wait a minute. What was Nathanael doing under that fig tree? He was probably praying and asking God to send the Messiah and to bring Messiah to Israel. And it was a private chamber, as it were, a prayer that Nathanael was speaking privately to God. And here was God telling him, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, that's the word master. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus told him where he was and made him understand and know that he knew what he was doing under that fig tree. And because he told me all that ever I did, he said, is not this the Christ? He said, Jesus, you are the Rabbi, the Master. You are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Is that all you're going to base it on, just seeing that? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He said, I am Jacob's ladder. In Genesis chapter 28 and verse 12, Jacob saw a ladder. The bottom was on the earth, the top was in heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending. Jesus said unto Nathanael, and it may have been that Nathanael was meditating upon that portion of Scripture, but Jesus said, listen, instead of a vision that Jacob had, you're going to see the angels of God ascending and descending upon me. I am the connection between heaven and earth. Let me get it right. Heaven and earth. And he said, the messengers of God are going to be coming and going according to me. I am the connection between God and man. I am the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Think about this passage. We are hurriedly going over it because of time. Sometime, if you have a chance and the Holy Spirit allows and leads, think about this passage and see that Nathanael came to the same place that the woman did in John 4:29. He told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? In John chapter 2, one page over, John chapter 2, beginning with verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name, listen, when they saw the miracles which he did. All right. That is not a good foundation for faith and belief in God. So this was not a true belief and a true faith. They believed on him because of miracles. Listen. But Jesus did not commit himself. If you'll study it out, in verse 23, many believed in his name. That's the same word, Greek word, in verse 24. Jesus did not commit himself to them. So they committed themselves unto him, but he didn't believe in them. You can swap the words back and forth. Same word. How can you have Jesus not committing himself to people who believe in him? Because they believed on a wrong basis, as a wrong foundation. They were excited and titillated about miracles. That didn't last long. That's like eating cotton candy. It tastes sweet and, you know, it may fill up your stomach for a few minutes, but pretty soon your stomach's growling and you want something solid to eat. You may get all excited about miracles and religion, and boy, hasn't that happened in America today. Get all excited about being excited, and then next thing you know, they're in depression and don't have anything to do with the Lord or his people. And Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Here again, he told me all that ever I did. And he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Therefore, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So you take that word chapter and the number 3 out of the way and let it go on and follow down, and you see that the reason that Jesus did not commit himself to Nicodemus is preceded in these verses 23 through 25 of John chapter 2. He knew what was in man, and there was a man of the Pharisees. The same came to Jesus by night, and he said, I know that you're a teacher come from God because of these miracles. And it just has just been said that Jesus didn't commit himself to anybody who came to him on a basis of being excited about miracles. Faith cometh by hearing. How does hearing come? Hearing by the word of God. It's based upon faith in the person of God revealed to you, the Word of God. So Jesus did not commit himself to the people who came to him talking about miracles. And Jesus just comes out in John chapter 3 and verse 3 and hits him right between the eyes with what Nicodemus needed. Just like the woman at the well, I believe that thou art a prophet. He said, go call thy husband. Thou hast well said that man you live with now is not your husband, and you have had 5 husbands. She said, I believe that thou art a prophet. So he goes right to the heart of things. And that's what the gospel will do. It'll pierce into your soul. We read you that in Hebrews chapter 4, in verse number 12. The book of Hebrews chapter 4, in verse number 12. For the word of God is quick, it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing, this sword of the Spirit pierces even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So he says to the woman, go call your husband. He says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Whatever the issue is between you and God, God will hit the nail on the head. You can try to distract him. You will try to give excuses about yourself. I know I did. I didn't want to confess myself to be the center of the gospel showed me to be until God made me understand and see that this is the truth. I must bow and worship. And I did. Thank God. He granted me repentance. He will grant you repentance too if you'll be honest with God. And I ended this morning's, this morning's message to me. I ended the first message by saying that God never sent an honest man to hell. If you will be honest with God, God will bring you into the awareness of his grace and of his truth. So we see that Jesus knew what was in man. He tells, can't even remember his name now. He tells Nathanael, I saw thee under the fig tree. And Nathanael is just slain with it, who has before said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I ain't going to believe him. I don't believe that's the Messiah. Philip said, I ain't going to argue with you. Come see for yourself. And God opened up his heart and made him know who he was. What do you mean who he was? Who Nathanael was, and he made him know by that who Christ was. Thou art the King of Israel. So we see the gospel in its effectual power, in its effectual call by the Holy Spirit will manifest to you who you are. And we shall know as we are known. And dear soul, you have to deal with yourself as yourself. You can't be lying to yourself anymore. You can't be, and everybody cuts their own self a little slack. There's verses in the Bible that say that better, but that's what they mean. You won't condemn yourself like others might condemn you. But the gospel doesn't mess around. It will show you who you are. It will hurt your feelings. And dear soul, they need to be hurt because those feelings have enamored us against the onslaught of the sword of the Spirit. But that sword of the Spirit is powerful and goes to the very soul and heart of your consciousness and will bring you to understand who you are. And these messages, they're not just something to watch on YouTube. If they come to be seen for what they really are, that there's a Holy Spirit dealing with us, thank God that there is a ministry of the Holy Spirit that is not fooling around with all kind of foolishness of churchianity and religiosity, but it's trying to preach the word of God and declare what God says, and we've come to see ourselves for who we are. Thank God for that. Search me, O Lord, and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's how God leads you in the way of everlasting. He manifests to you what you are. Now, let's look at Luke. Luke 24. The 24th chapter of the book of Luke. Here are these men going down to Emmaus. Luke 24:13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. God told them to tarry at Jerusalem. They didn't do it. Peter said, I go a fishing. This thing ain't worked out. I'm going back into fishing business. I'm out of this. These two said, we're going down to Emmaus. As far as I could ascertain, there's some hot springs down there and we can have some rest and relaxation and enjoy ourselves. They came to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. They're going to talk about religion. They're going to give their opinion. Dear soul, I am so thankful that God interrupts religious people from talking about, well, this is what happened when that happened, and this is what happened when this happened. And I remember that time when brother so-and-so did this and sister so-and-so. And God interrupts and comes and gets in among us and changes the conversation and turns it to where our hearts burn within us and we begin to understand the truth and quit talking about, boy, I was there at that first conference when old so-and-so preached that message and it was really great. Did it change your life? Did you repent? Are you different than you were, spiritually speaking? Then what good did it do? Well, I get to tell everybody how I was there at that first message. Before that conference got to be popular, I was there. So they were talking and they were communing together. Jesus himself drew near, Luke 24:15, and went with them. Jesus said, I know my sheep, and they will follow me. And I got two sheep that are leaving the fold and doing what I told them not to do, and I'm going after them. So Jesus himself went with him. Search me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And there was. And lead me in the way everlasting. And they went back and got back where they were supposed to be. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. That's bad. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are so sad? Why are you sad? Here's the resurrected Lord. He has been faithful and powerful to conquer death and hell and the grave. And here is the living, resurrected Savior walking with you, and you don't know it. Dear soul, we need to have God to show us our heart. We need to understand you're going the wrong way. Well, I tried that church and I tried that gospel and, you know, I got involved in that Calvinism and all that stuff. And wait a minute. Quit talking. Seek the Lord. Ask God to talk to you. Ask the Lord to manifest your heart to you. He will. He'll manifest our hearts to us. Listen. And one of them whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, are you just a stranger in Jerusalem? Don't you know these things that's going? Rebuked him, Mr. Smarty Pants Cleophas, rebuking the Lord. And, you know, we had this man Jesus of Nazareth, verse 19. He was a prophet, and he was mighty in deed and in word, and we thought he was going to be the Messiah, but this is the third day, and he ain't nowhere to be seen. Dear soul, you can be dedicated to religion. You could have given your life to religion, but you just gave yourself to a set of morality and moral rules, and you still don't know the Lord. That was me for 7 years. But Jesus came and manifested myself to me and led me in the way everlasting. Is not this the Christ? Dear soul, should not there be some power of the Holy Spirit in religious organization? Yes. Should not there be some work of the Holy Spirit personally in you as you sit there and watch these messages? The person sitting next to you or sitting beside you or other people that are watching this at different times, they don't know your heart. But is not this revealing your heart to you? Then it's not me and it's not this video, it's the Holy Ghost. And the question still arises. If he tells you all that ever you did, Is not this the Christ? Are you not dealing with Christ? Be careful, dear soul. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. And Cleophas goes on to tell him about how Jesus disappointed them and what all they saw and how the women saw a vision of angels and all that kind of stuff. And then Jesus breaks in on them in verse number 25. And this is not easy to hear. But dear soul, had you not rather God tell you what you are right now that's not easy to hear than for you to have your heart lifted up and your eyes lifted up in hell? The rich man never had his eyes lift up until he got to hell and realized what a mess he made out of his life, but it's too late. Hadn't you rather, that preacher in that church and them church people, you know, offend you when it's really the Holy Spirit bringing reality to your heart and bringing truth to your soul, and you hear the Lord say to you personally, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Why did you not believe what my prophets have spoken? Dear soul, you're not going to get it any other way. It's not going to be an injection of God injecting truth into your arm like going and getting the shot, you know, to ward off disease. God's not going to bore a hole in your head and pour it in. It's going to be by the foolishness of preaching. You need to believe the prophets, but you need to get beyond that prophet and get on to Christ and listen to who he's talking about and say to yourself, that man don't know me. He may be hundreds of miles away in another city in another state preaching that message on a different day than when I'm sitting here watching it. But the Lord is manifesting himself to me. He's manifesting myself to me. And I need not to look at that preacher or that screen, but I need to look at Christ and understand he's telling me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this more than just religion? Be careful. Ask yourself that question now, because the Lord's going to come back very soon. We're in the last part of the last days. We're in perilous times. Look around you. It's going to come in a moment. It's going to come, and they knew not till the flood came and took them all away. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Oh, dear soul, I beseech you, I beg you, I entreat you, I pray to God that God would help you come to Christ and say, this is Jesus, this is Christ, this is God's Messiah speaking to me in my heart. He's showing me all that ever I did. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? He preached the cross and the crown. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That's what we want to do. I don't want you to become a Calvinist. I don't want you to become a Baptist. I don't want you to become a church member. I want you to come to my Savior. I want you to come and enjoy the blessings of my Lord. I want you to come to the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, and you stand before God redeemed and pure and holy. And it can be if you just realize he told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Jesus brought up the subject, should not you have believed the prophets? Well, I know that preacher. He's just like everybody else. Ain't nothing any different about him. I understand that. 2 Corinthians. God didn't send angels out to preach the gospel. He chose sinners. That's what I am. You say you're a sinner? For sure. I'm a forgiven sinner. I'm a cleansed sinner. I am a called sinner. Called two times. Called into salvation by the Holy Spirit of God. God saved me. And then called into the ministry by the Holy Spirit. God sent me. So he saved me and he sent me. And here I am trying to be faithful to you. Listen. Well, I know these preachers. Okay. Let's be honest about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse number 3, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Paul said, I'm trying to live as perfect as I can because it has an effect upon the ministry. But in all things, listen, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. In all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. And you may be surprised at what the scriptures and the Holy Spirit says here. And as Paul writes to the Corinthians and tells them about preachers, about ministers, and how they are approved as the true ministers of God. And you need to see these things and say, well, he has the stamp of approval on him. You better wait. Listen to what it says. In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities. Poor man don't have enough. You know, enough food, enough clothing, he can't pay his bills, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments. Must be a horrible fellow. Look at him. He's always getting thrown in jail. In tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unmolded, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. And watch out now. By honor and dishonor. Well, I heard some things about him. That's one of the things that approves him as a minister of God. You do understand that this is under the heading of things that approve men as ministers of God. By honor and dishonor. Dear soul, all you got to do is get with certain people down through my ministry that I have been involved with, and you can hear all kinds of ungodly stuff about me. That's the way it is. Because they won't bow to the gospel. They do everything they can to put the light out, blaspheme that man and ruin his reputation so that it justifies them as not believing him. So by honor and dishonor, listen, by evil report and good report. You ever read concerning the life of the Apostle Paul and how that the Jews hired even eloquent lawyers to blaspheme him and say all manner of evil against him? Do you remember how Jesus got crucified? They found people that would blaspheme him and said, he's destroying the law of Moses. He's doing away with our religion. He's a rebel and a blasphemer. Evil report. Listen, as deceivers and yet true. Well, that church down there, they're just a cult. They got a hold of my cousin and they turned her mind. They brainwashed her. Now she's involved with them, and I can't even get her out. And we used to have good times. We used to go out drinking and carrying on, and I had all kind of stuff going on in our lives. Now she won't do nothing with me no more. He won't do anything with me anymore. By evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown, who does he think he is? And yet well known, that's my brother who has been faithful to preach the word of God to me. As dying, and behold, we live. As chastened and not killed. As sorrowful and yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. That's the kind of prophets that he rebuked them for not listening to. They're just men, but they're God's men. They just been, you know, elected to be pastor of that church, but dear soul, they were elected by the Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world, and God said, I called you before you was in your before you came out of your mother's womb. Jeremiah chapter 1. Your mama did not have a baby boy who became a preacher. Your mama had a baby preacher who was a boy. I got a hold of him first. Yes, they're just everyday people, but they're God's everyday people. You need to be careful. And if God tells you everything you ever did through him, you can't get bitter at him and say, I ain't going to pay no attention to that. Is not this the Christ? Is not that man pouring out his soul and his heart on your behalf, seeking that you might come to know the Lord? Listen, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful and yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open to you and our heart is enlarged. You're not straitened in us. You're not narrow in us. You're straitened in your own heart. That's what he says about preachers, those who are approved as the ministers of God. And where did he get that business about evil report and good report? Go back over to Matthew chapter number 5. The book of Matthew chapter 5. He says in verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Be careful, dear friend. Well, I had a deacon walk up to me before he walked out of the church and said he ain't coming back because he hated that gospel I preached. He said, the Lord judge between me and thee this day. I wondered how long he'd been trying to practice that little sermon, that little saying. And I said, amen, brother, I hope he does. Persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Listen at verse number 11, Matthew 5. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil. And did not that say in 2 Corinthians 6 of evil report and good report? Dear soul, if you want to hear something evil about God's men to try to nullify that conviction that you have in your heart where the Holy Spirit, not him, the Holy Spirit opened up your heart and showed you all that you ever did and you was naked and open with him with whom you had to do and it embarrassed you and it made you mad and you can't hit God but you're going to try to get out to hit that preacher. Cain couldn't hit God so he hit Abel. And dear soul, people who are convicted by the Holy Spirit and made naked and open with whom we have to do, they can't do anything about it except come after the preacher and come after that church and come after everything that's holy and godly. He said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. The next word is hard to understand. Rejoice. They're lying on me and blaspheming me, and I'm to do what? Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Because that's one of the earmarks of the true man of God. That's one of the earmarks of the true people of God. That's one of the earmarks of a true church of God. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. O fools and slow of heart, not to believe all that the prophets have spoken unto me, of me. That's what he said to the two on the road to Emmaus. And he rebuked them because they were trying to cast off those things that God had told them, and instead of holding fast and believing and walking with God, they were going in the wrong direction. But Jesus was so kind and gracious to them. He stopped for the night with them, and while he was breaking bread, their eyes were open, and he saw him who is the bread of life and said, "Oh, my soul, what have we done?" And they turned around in that night in the dark and went all the way back to Jerusalem where they should have stayed in the first place. And they told them in Jerusalem, they said, "We've seen the Master. We have seen him. He talked with us by the way." And I want you to know what they said. Verse 31 of Luke 24. "And their eyes were open and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight." You better be careful. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He may vanish out of your sight. And I hope it scares you so bad you say, "Oh Lord, I hope I'm not reprobate. I hope that's not the last time the Lord will deal with me." And that you do what these guys do. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures?" That's what's happening in these messages. That's what's happening in the messages, not the sermons, the messages that God sends you. It doesn't matter if the man's of evil report or of good report. It doesn't matter, dear soul, you know, what all has been said against him and the lies that's been told on him. It matters that your heart is burning within you and he told you all that you ever did, and you have to come to the question, is not this the Christ? This is not just Baptist doctrine. This is not just church anity. This is God speaking to me. It will be the last thing you will ever have God do for you before he either saves you or you walk away from him. And dear soul, if you walk away from God and you wind up in hell, you will lift up your eyes and you say, "Wait a minute. I knew that that was God, but I did not bow. He told me all that ever I did. He was a discerner of the thought and intents of the heart." You can either do like that brother did and say, "You've been talking to that preacher about me. I ain't coming back." And get mad. Or you can say, "The Lord must really love me because he's not leaving me any way out except true repentance and bowing and worshiping King Jesus. And I have come to understand and see and answer the question. He told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And I said in my soul, "Yes. It's me, Lord. I repent and bow and believe the gospel." And the first Christian terrorist that there ever was, Saul of Tarsus, murdering people, tearing children out of the arms of their parents and throwing parents in jail for believing in that rebel Jesus. When God smote him and struck him down and made him see who he was on the road to Damascus and knocked him off his high horse, he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" It ain't between you and these Christians. It's between you and me. And you need to say the same thing that that Saul of Tarsus, the first Christian terrorist, said when he was quickened and made alive and his whole life was turned around. He said, who art thou, Lord?" And God said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And dear soul, listen, that beer bottle, that liquor bottle, that those drugs, that those sinful acts that titillate your soul and mind and body, they're not going to do it anymore. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. God's not going to let up on you. You better hope he doesn't. God is going to make sure you understand and know it's not between you and that preacher. It's not between you and that Bible. It's between you and me. And I have the power to cast you into hell. Fear not them that have the power to destroy the body. Fear him that has the power to separate soul from the body and cast your soul in hell. Come to Jesus today. Let him show you the way. You're drifting too far from the peaceful shore. Oh, my soul. Let me finish by reading Ephesians chapter 4. I think Brother Bobby's going to come and bring us a song. I hope he does. You pray for him when he comes. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 20. Ephesians 4. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Dear soul, what I had to come to do was climb over the monument of religion that I had put my hand to and got my tithe envelopes and gave me my little Bible and said, here's your certificate of baptism. And I had to climb over all of that religion that I had professed and admit that wasn't the issue. The issue is I'm a sinner. And God just saved me. He saved me in a church. He saved me in church membership. But I have to admit that it was the Lord. You need to admit that. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And dear soul, you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. You put off concerning the former manner of life that old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Come to Jesus today. And ask yourself, since he's told me all that ever I did in this message, is not this the Christ? God bless you. Tree.
you, Lord.